Some people follow fads and keep up with the latest trends, while others walk around mismatched and clashing. Yet others make great sacrifices to make sure they're always dressed to the nines and sporting the latest styles by the most distinguished designers. Whether you resemble a model sashaying their way down the runway, or you're an antiquated old fart with one suit in storage that smells like mothballs, well then, this episode is for you.
I'm too sexy for my love, too sexy for my love, love's going to leave.
We'll find out all about fashion on this week's episode of FYI. Welcome to For Your Info.
English.
You got it. Welcome to this, another exciting edition of FYI, your weekly topic-based show. And if you haven't heard a topic you'd love to hear about, please let me know. Reach out, as the song goes. Reach out, I'll be there to give you all the English you need. All right, well, if you haven't heard that episode on music, remember we're always learning from music, movies, pop culture, and culture in general. It's how we learn our own languages. Well, today we're not here to talk about music, although music is a part of fashion. You can't take fashion and music away from each other. Some of the most fashionable people we've seen throughout the years are rock stars, and we'll be taking a look at some of the most fashionable icons out there. And David Bowie is on our list. But let's kick off with the intro as always. I started out by saying some people follow fads, and I know you know the word trend from a trending topic, but a fad is another way to say a trend, and they want to keep up with the latest trends, and to keep up with is to keep that rhythm, that pace. It reminds me of the idiomatic expression, keeping up with the Joneses. That means always trying to one-up your neighbors. So my neighbor's got a BMW Series 3, well, I've got to get the Series 4. And that's where the show title, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, came from. It's from the idiomatic expression, keeping up with the Joneses, which in theory is the neighbors, because Jones is a very common surname in the United States, or I should say in the English-speaking world in general. So which one are you? Are you somebody who follows fads and keeps up with the latest trends? Or are you like me, the other side of the spectrum, which is the guy who's walking around mismatched? Yeah, I'm 46 years old and I still haven't figured out how to match things. I'm always clashing. And when something clashes, it means it doesn't match well. Some really good vocabulary in the intro, as always. You guys know I like to sprinkle it with great expressions that have to do with the topic. And awesome adjectives, of course. And then you've got these people who I call fashionistas or fashion victims. I'm not sure, but these are the people who make great sacrifices to make sure they're always dressed to the nines. And there's an idiomatic expression that means to be dressed really snazzy, very sharp, looking great. And it's true, when you look great, you feel great generally. But I would never sacrifice comfort to look good. I mean, I always love these women in these nice high heels. They look great, but then when they take them off and you see that they've got blisters all over their feet and bunions, I ask myself, is it really worth it? Maybe flat shoes are better. Again, but that's a choice that everybody makes. Some people feel it's a rite of passage. You have to suffer if you want to look good. Think about corsets back in the day. And we're going to take a look at the history of fashion as well. Some very interesting trends that have come up throughout the years. Also, remember, every week there's a bonus episode where you can get awesome stuff, idiomatic expressions that have to do with the topic, fun facts. Today we'll be taking a look at those things as well as faux pas, things you should not do. We'll also take a look at fashion and pop culture, such as movies and celebrities. We'll take a look at the little black dress. This is a staple. A staple es una grapa, pero también es algo esencial. We'll talk about Barbie and, of course, the dark side of the fashion world. All that and much more in the bonus episode. And if you guys would like to get that bonus episode every week, all you have to do is join me on Patreon. You've got tons of different options from €3 a month to €60 a month. And for €3 a month, you'll get some worksheets every week. You'll get an extra episode, as I said, the bonus episode. Plus, you'll be a part of a community. Check it out. It's all on patreon.com/AlbertoAlonso. And I want to send a shout out to all my patrons, especially my super duper students, Marta, Javier, and Paco. They have access to all the stuff I said before, the bonus episodes, the PDFs with all the vocabulary, and a weekly class with me. And don't forget about my interstellar students. They have a weekly class with me and a monthly class with me. The weekly class is a group class. The monthly class is a private class. So it's up to you how deep you want to get into it, how much you want to improve your English, how motivated or driven you are. But if you are totally driven, then the interstellar level is for you. And I want to send a shout out to all my interstellar students, Carmen, Lina, Isa, Paco, David, Jose Maria, Patricio, and Edgar. You guys rock. Keep up the wonderful work. And if you guys want to join the community, you can join us over on patreon.com/AlbertoAlonso. So going back to the intro, what kind of person are you? Are you somebody who keeps up with the trends? Are you somebody who has no idea how to match colors like me? You're literally fashion illiterate. Or are you one of these people who would rather die than be out of fashion, out of style? That's an easy one. To be in style, de moda. To be out of style means no está de moda. We'll take a look at more vocabulary associated with the topic in the bonus episode. And I said the word over here, sporting, to sport the latest styles. Well, that's another way of saying to wear. And remember, wear is an irregular verb. Wear, wore, worn. Then I said, whether you resemble a model, and to resemble is to look like. And careful with the pronunciation. It's not model, it's model, model. Whether you resemble a model sashaying their way down the runway, and to sashay is kind of to walk around posing, kind of. Pavonearse, you say in Spanish. I think you can hear it in the RuPaul song. Sashay, chante, sashay, chante. Don't ask me how I know that. Well, I think it was on the radio all the time when I was a kid. And the runway is another way of saying the catwalk. You can call it the runway or the catwalk. Do you recognize that one from a song? On the catwalk, yeah, I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. I'm too sexy for my love. And that's why I chose the song. I thought it was very appropriate. So you can call it the runway or the catwalk. And then I said, or you're an antiquated old fart. I'm talking about myself there. With one suit, and that's a true story, in storage. En el trastero. Almacenado. And it smells like mothballs. Mothballs are these little things that you put in a closet so they keep the moths away. Here it says bola de alcanfor, bola de naftalina. Well, a moth is a polilla, these little butterflies. Anytime I think of mothballs, I think of my grandma's house. You know, it's the smell of an older person's house. So it doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you're on. This episode is for you, folks, because you're worth it. Porque lo vales. And fashion is something you either love or hate. I don't think there's a middle ground. It's like Jose Mourinho. People either love the guy or hate the guy. As you guys know, I am a trendsetter. I'm just kidding. As I said before, you won't find a guy as outdated as me. I can't even match jeans and a t-shirt. So let's define fashion. Fashion is a term used interchangeably to describe the creation of clothing. You can say clothing or clothes. Footwear, that can be sneakers, flip-flops, slippers, accessories, you got bracelets, necklaces, earrings, toe rings, cosmetics, which is makeup, and jewelry of different cultural aesthetics, and their mix and match into outfits that depict distinctive ways of dressing, styles, and trends. These are signifiers of social status, self-expression, and group belonging. So a lot of people follow fashion because they want to fit in. They don't want to stand out. It reminds me of an expression: when you stand out for the wrong reasons, you stick out like a sore thumb. Es destacar, pero más cantar destacar. Why is he wearing a pink hat? He's sticking out like a sore thumb. As a multifaceted term, fashion describes an industry, styles, aesthetics, and trends. I'm sure you're all familiar with the French word mode, which means fashion. Well, this word dates back to 1482, while the English word denoting something that's in style dates only back to the 16th century. So the French were way ahead of us as far as fashion is concerned. The etymology of the English word fashion comes from the Latin word facere, which means to make. And it describes the manufacturing, mixing, and wearing of outfits. An outfit is the whole package, el conjunto total. So if somebody says nice outfit, they mean nice jeans and shirt. Nice, I like the way you put it together, the way you mix and match, as we just heard. So even if you don't like fashion, folks, you're going to at least know how to talk about it in English. We're going to go over the bare bones here. Now, fashion has changed very much throughout the years. Now we know we have something called fast fashion. They mass produce it very cheaply in third world countries. And obviously, we'll talk about that in the dark side later on. Let's take a quick look at some history. Historically speaking, changes in clothing styles often took place at times of economic or social change. And there's evidence of this in ancient Rome and even in 8th century Moorish Spain. Supposedly, this musician Ziryab introduced to Cordoba sophisticated clothing styles. And these were clothing styles that he took with him from Baghdad. And he modified them a little bit. But as we said before, you can't separate musicians, artists, and fashion, even since the 8th century. And you saw a lot of that, a lot of different cultures introducing different fabrics and different styles. In the 11th century, in the Middle East, the Turks arrived, and they introduced clothing styles from Central Asia and the Far East. I mean, now you can walk into H&M and you can buy something that resembles something a Chinese person would wear, or a kimono. But before, this was like seeing something from another planet, discovering a new fabric. Imagine the first time you touched silk. And in the Western world, tailoring has been around since the medieval times. Back then, it was controlled by guilds. A guild is a trade or a union. You say gremio. But then with the industrial age, the power of these guilds was undermined. And before the mid-19th century, most clothing was custom-made, or as we say, tailor-made. It was handmade for individuals, either as home production or on order from a dressmaker or a tailor. I know you guys know about this in Spain. Some of the most famous tailors are Spanish. And fashion designers, Manolo Blahnik, for example. And we won't even talk about Amancio Ortega. He revolutionized the fashion industry. By the beginning of the 20th century, with the rise of new technologies such as sewing machines, also the rise of global trade, and the development of the factory system of production. All of this created a boom in retail outlets, such as department stores. And this is when clothing became increasingly mass-produced. And the fashion industry originally developed in Europe and America. As of 2017, it is an international and highly globalized industry. The clothing is often designed in one country, manufactured in another, and sold worldwide. And all of this at lightning speed. For example, an American fashion company, Tommy Hilfiger, let's say, they might source fabric from China. They'll have the clothes manufactured in Vietnam, finished in Italy, and then shipped to a warehouse in the United States for distribution. And that will end up in the retail outlets. So basically, that pair of jeans has traveled more than you. Again, I was just using Tommy Hilfiger as an example. I don't know if any of those are true. But you get my point. Also, the fashion industry has for a long time been one of the largest employers in the U.S. But now, U.S. employment in the fashion world is beginning to decline considerably. Let's see if you know why. One word, folks. No, three words. Made in China. So most of our production has moved overseas to China and other countries in the East, where labor is cheaper. And in some cases, we found out it's even slave labor. But we'll get to the dark side. Now, remember, I'm going to say this again. I've already made it very clear, but here's your disclaimer. I know nothing about fashion, so this has been a learning experience for me. Please feel free to correct me when I'm wrong. But the fashion industry consists of four levels. One, the production of raw materials. There's a good vocabulary word. Principally fiber and textiles, but also leather and fur. I think both of those words are piel in Spanish. Well, leather is like the one on a leather jacket. You say una chupa. And fur is the one that's more like a teddy bear. Some good vocabulary here. Number two, the production of fashion goods by designers, manufacturers, contractors, and others. The third part, retail sales. And fourth, various forms of advertising and promotion. And we all know how important that is in this day and age. Not just advertising on TV with commercials and in magazines, but now with influencers, which used to be called trendsetters. But when somebody sees somebody they look up to using a product, boom, the chances of them buying that product shoots through the roof. And I think they probably spend more money on advertising every year than on fabrics and designing the actual clothes. Don't quote me on that, but man, it seems that way. One of the most famous ceremonies all year, I should say ceremonies, galas, is the annual Met Gala in New York City. This is the premier venue where fashion designers and their creations are celebrated. Not to be confused with Fashion Week. And let's see if you know, what are the big four fashion weeks? Okay, New York, easy. Paris, easy. What are the other two? Did you say Milan and London? Oh, yeah. I'm too sexy for Milan. Too sexy for Milan, New York and Japan. I'm a model, you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk. Yeah, on the catwalk. Hey, I don't like fashion, but I do love music. And Zoolander. Man, what a great movie, Zoolander. We'll talk about movies in the bonus episode, and we're going to have a lot of fun facts. Let me give you one right now to whet your appetite. Did you know it wasn't until the beginning of the 19th century that they started using models to showcase clothes? Yes. Before that, they used mannequins. Hey, there's another good movie that has to do with fashion. You say maniquí, we say mannequin. Nothing's gonna stop us now. And if this world runs out of lovers, we'll still have each other. Nothing's gonna stop us now. All right, I'll stop. some of the most influential fashion designers throughout history, Coco Chanel, Christian Dior, please forgive my pronunciation, y no he dicho Yves Saint Laurent, Yves Saint Laurent, Alexander McQueen, Vivian Westwood, Versace, as I said, Manolo Blahnik, he's another one in the United States. I think there's even a Jay-Z song, a hip-hop song, where he says, her Manolos, the Manolos. And I said, wait a second, Manolo, I know that name. So I learned about Manolos from a rap song. There's that connection again between music and fashion. Another famous fashion designer, Michael Kors. Now, I didn't know who he was, but I thought it was nice that his first project was his own mother's wedding dress. Aww. And you know what's crazy? He was only 5 years old when he designed it. I guess his mother remarried. But still, a five-year-old designing a wedding dress? This kid was destined for greatness in the fashion world. Oh, and Coco Chanel, we'll talk more about her and the black dress and the perfume as well. But also Coco Chanel, when I was preparing this, I realized that she was involved with some really bad people, Nazis. So I guess her image was whitewashed. But if you just Google Coco Chanel, Nazis, get ready. And we didn't mention magazines as well. Magazines before the internet, before there was Instagram and TikTok and all these places where you could sell creams and moisturizer and all that jazz, you had your fashion mags. A lot of them now have disappeared, or at least the print part of it. But I remember going to my grandma's house and she would have Vogue. You can do it. There's nothing to it. Vogue. Strike a pose. There's Madonna's song Vogue. You say Vogue, we say Vogue. You've got Harper's Bazaar. I mean, those are two of the most popular ones. And they both popped up in the 1920s, which was one of the most important decades for fashion. I guess that's something we should say too. There's a whole industry and other smaller industries that revolve around fashion, from periodicals to marketing to my favorite, the perfume commercials. Now, are these, who comes up with these? Here, I'm going to try and make up my own perfume commercial right here on the spot. Let me get some music. Okay.
Passion. Love. Freedom. The new fragrance by Alberto Alonso.
Hey, that's what they sound like. I don't know who's the creative guy, and I don't know what he smoked, but perfume commercials are just weird. I think they're trying to make a short film. Trying to express their art. Truthfully, they're pretty ridiculous. Although I do like the models. You won't hear me complain about the models. Let me give you a couple more fun facts, and then we're going to wrap up this part. Hopefully you'll join us in the bonus episode. Let's talk about high heels right now. High heels were originally worn by men. That's right. They were a symbol of masculinity in the 16th century. And they were worn by aristocratic men. Now think about why, too. Remember, they rode horses, so it was easier to get into the stirrups. And it wasn't until the 17th century that women started incorporating heels into their fashion choices. So men wore heels a century before women did. And there's a similar story with shorts. Men have been wearing shorts for decades. But women were only allowed to wear them in public post-World War II. And it was for the simple reason that they were rationing fabric during the war. So shorts were more cost-effective than pants or skirts. And we'll talk more about skirts in the bonus episode. But there's something we can say about fashion trends. They come and they go, but they're cyclical. I remember a costume teacher I had in college. She said fashion repeats itself every 30 years or so. So bell bottoms were popular in the 1960s. Well, guess what? When I was a kid, bell bottoms were all the rage. It was around 30 years after. So you'll see a lot of styles and trends from the past often make a comeback. Now, a lot of times they reinvent them or they reimage them for the modern day. But fashion, like history, repeats itself. But just because something was a trend doesn't mean it's cool. That's why I go against the grain. Because during the Renaissance period, for example, it was fashionable to shave off your eyebrows. Ouch! So I guess we don't have to follow every fashion trend out there. But I came across this quote, and we'll wrap up the episode with this quote here because I thought it was quite interesting. Again, this is from somebody who knows nothing about fashion, as you can see. All you have to do is see the way I dress. But Diane von Furstenberg said, "Style is something that each of us already has. All we need to do is find it." So everybody's got their own style, the way you dress, the way you speak, the way you express yourself. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you'll join us in the bonus episode of this week's FYI.